Yeah, some of you young people getting off easy, but just the fear you had that I was going to tell something about you is worth it. Amen. But if you'd like to know some stories, I have stories. Amen. We had a good time. We picked on each other a lot. We even picked on Mr. Peter a lot. Mr. Peter became quite famous at these quizzes because he's fairly well, good with technology, and he was helping them on the computer and stuff, and he became a popular man. So much so, he's eating lunch with the officials of the tournament. He forgets us, you know. The moral of the story is when you become popular and famous, don't forget those of us in your humble beginnings. Amen. We were your friend when you were nobody. You become somebody, and you got to go eat with the officials and let them buy you lunch. And we're eating our little packed lunch out on the side of the road in our van. Amen. But anyways, we still love Mr. Pete. Amen. In spite of some of his faults and failures. Some that I won't mention that has been well documented. I would never go there. Amen. Brother Dan's face was priceless when I told him about Peter hugging women. If I could have had a picture of that. I don't know if it was the 12 hours he just spent on the road with a bunch of elementary kids. I don't know, but if I had that on video, that would have been priceless. Amen. I think it was her jewelry that attracted him to her, I guess. I don't know. Amen. Judges. We had a good time. Joshua, Judges, all the same, right? I was telling my wife, one of these kids ought to get up and for a test or ask for a special and just quote a chapter or two to us. Amen. Joshua chapter number 7. Actually, we're starting chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And then chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." The accursed thing being what we just read, that which was God's they were not supposed to touch. "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I do thank you for saving me. Lord, it's good to be in your house tonight, and I pray that you'd help me now as I preach. Lord, I pray for your touch and your anointing, and I pray that you'd bless your people, speak to their hearts, give them something that'd be a help to them. And Lord, I pray this would not just be another service, but God, I pray that it would be pleasing to you. And it would work effectually in our hearts, the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I did want to mention this. I mentioned this to Mom and Dad today, but I heard a simple yet profound statement this week. On Monday, we quizzed at Squanted all day, and then at 9:30 that night, they had like a coaches meeting for the next day at Nationals, and Jack Knapp is the head of ASCS Quizzing, so he was running the meeting. And when he started it, he got up and he said, I think there were 69 events, competitive events there. He got and said that Bible quizzing, he believed, was the most important event. He said young people memorizing the Word of God. He said this is more important than the NCAA tournament, than college football, than the basketball playoffs. He said this is has a lasting effect. And then he said this. He said, I understand that not all quizzers that memorize the Word of God always live the way we'd like them to live. But he said this. He said the Word of God, he said it will either haunt them or help them the rest of their life. He said, all we can do is put it in their mind. If it's only in their mind, the Word of God's going to haunt them. But if it would ever get down in their heart, the Word of God will help them. You know, we can't put it in their heart, but can't get in their heart if it's not in their mind first. All we can do is put it in their mind. I thought that was a profound statement. In the mind, the Word of God, it can't help you. It can only haunt you. And I know some people, today that used to quiz aren't living right. But you know what? They have the Word of God. And I'm sure they may not admit it, but I guarantee you there's times it haunts them, that it comes up in their mind and in their memory. But if you young people ever get that Word of God down in your heart, it'll help you. Amen. Anyways, I just wanted to share that. I thought that was a profound statement. In Joshua here, obviously in chapter 7 you have the story of Achan. In chapter 6, it was before they went into Jericho, God told him, he said, don't touch the spoils. If you do, it's an accursed thing. It's for the Lord. In chapter 7, we see that Achan, what's he do? He takes of the accursed thing. Now I want you to go to Joshua chapter number 8. In Joshua chapter 8 verse number 1, now they've gone up to Ai, they've been defeated. They come back, Joshua falls on the on his face. The Lord says, get up, there's sin in the camp you must deal with. Joshua got up early in the morning, dealt with the sin. Achan and his family are killed because of this. And now they're getting ready to go back to Ai. And we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. Remember, before they only took 3,000. The Lord says, you know, Joshua, I've got a little bit different idea here. And he said, see, I've given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. You know, as I read this and as I thought about this, I thought Achan, back in Jericho, he took of the spoil that God told him, don't touch. He said, if you touch it, it's a cursed thing. What made it a cursed thing? What made it a curse was that it was God's, and for Achan to take it, he was taking what was God's, and God said, that's an accursed thing. And Achan found out in short order that it was a cursed thing. It brought a curse to him and his entire family. That happened in chapter 6. In chapter 7, they deal with this. Chapter 8, they're going back up to Ai. I don't know the time frame, but I don't believe more than just a few days have passed. Maybe a week has passed. I don't know. They've gone up to Ai. They've been defeated. Joshua asks the Lord why. In one day, he takes care of the problem. And the next day, they're getting ready to go back to Ai. I think maybe 3 or 4 days have passed from Jericho to Ai. And I read something in chapter 8, verse 2. It says, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. And as I read that and thought on that, I had this thought. If only Achan had waited. You know what God told him there at Ai? He said, you can have all the spoil you want. But Achan is not alive to enjoy the spoil. Why? Because he had to have it back in Jericho when God said, it's a cursed thing. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. If Achan had only waited. If Achan had only waited. It's just a matter of a few days, I believe. Maybe 3 or 4 days, and not only could he have had just a little bit of gold and silver, he could have had all that he wanted. It wouldn't have been a curse, it would have been a blessing of God. He could have lived, his family could have lived. How different would Achan's life had been if only Achan had waited for God. You know, if he had waited, he could have taken all that he wanted. What did he take? He took a wedge of gold, 200 shekels of silver, and one garment. But if he had waited to Ai, he wouldn't have had, you know why he only took that? Because I believe that's what he could get and hide, hopefully with nobody seeing. But if he had waited on God just a few more days, he could have taken trip after trip. He could have taken all that he wanted if he just waited. Many times, because we don't wait, we miss out on blessings. We seemingly get this little bit that we can hide. And if you just wait, God's got a whole city waiting for you of spoil if you just wait on God. Not only could he have taken all that he wanted, but he could have enjoyed that which he did take. You know how much he enjoyed that wedge of gold and those 200 shekels of silver and that Babylonian garment? Listen, he never got to wear that garment. He never got to spend that silver, that gold. He never got to trade it in on anything. He never got to show it off. He simply dug a hole, put it in the hole, and just a couple days later it's ripped back out and he dies because of it. He did not enjoy it. It was nothing but a curse to him. But if he had just waited a few days, he could have enjoyed it. He could have showed it to others. He could have wore the garments. He could have spent the silver. He could have enjoyed the spoil if he had just waited. He would not have had to have hid it, hide it. How many today, they do that which is wrong? And how do you know it's wrong? Well, they usually have to hide it. Our young people, they start relationships. And you know what they're doing? They're hiding it. Why are they hiding it? Because they're in Jericho. And they're not willing to wait for their Ai when God says, hey, it's fine. My blessing is on it. So they have to hide maybe a relationship, maybe a friendship, maybe some action that they're doing, something they're partaking of. What must they do? They hide it. They don't want anybody else to see why. Because it's not the right thing to do. But they're not willing to wait. He would not have had to hide it. He could have enjoyed it the right way. Boy, you talk about relationships. How many young people have had relationships And maybe in their mind it was enjoyable at the time, but they weren't able to enjoy it the right way. They were not able to enjoy it with the blessings of God on them. Maybe there's something in their life, some habit, some action, some place they go, something they partake of. And in their mind, they think they're enjoying it. But you know, if they'd only do that which is right and wait on God, they could enjoy it a lot more. But Achan's not able to enjoy it. Not only that, if he would have waited, he could have enjoyed it with others. Not only that, we see if he had just waited, he could have had a clear conscience. You know what Achan did not have from the moment he took that? He had no clear conscience. How many people call themselves Christians, saved people in church, but not with a clear conscience? They sit there and they smile and they sing the songs and they nod their heads and they go through the whole church thing and the whole, they know how to do everything in the ministries and all that. But when they lay their head on the pillow at night, their conscience is not clear and clean with them and God. Why? There's something in their life that's not right, something they just had to have, something they just had to partake of that was not the blessing of God. And their conscience is now dirty and not clear. Not only that, he could have kept what he got. If he had just waited, he could have kept it. You know, in the end, he doesn't get to keep those few things. You know, what he took was a curse. But do you understand, if he had just waited a few days, those very same objects would not have been a curse. They would have been a blessing from God. It was just a matter of waiting. And he could have kept them. He could have enjoyed them. Some of it he might have even been able to pass on down to his children. But instead, he gets to die with his children because he took the cursed thing. We as parents were supposed to pass a heritage to our children. You know what the truth is? We're all passing a heritage to our children. Every one of us. Whether you want to or not, you're passing a heritage. Some of it is just one that Achan passed. We'd rather you not pass. But Achan didn't pass down the right heritage. How different his life could have been. His family would have survived. 36 lives would not have been killed at Ai if he had just waited. You know what he did? He got what he wanted, but he lost everything else in the process. So many people, they just have got to get what they want. And what they don't realize, Brother Dan, is they're losing everything in the process. It may not happen overnight, and it may not happen in a year, and it may not even happen in 10 years. But Brother Kevin, by getting what they so desperately just have to have, they end up losing all that they could have. And then they live the rest of their life, however they live it. Achan just had to have the spoil of Jericho, and instead he loses all that God had for him. What a tragedy, the life of Achan. Sometimes, that which we desperately so want is actually a curse to us. And if we just wait, God could give us a blessing. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about some people in the Bible that should have waited. You know, I think about Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham, I understand he's in Hebrews 11, a great man of God. But you know, there was an instance in their life where they'd been better off waiting on God. You know what it was? It was the promise of a son. Abraham's 86 years old. You know, to be honest and just towards Abraham, 86 is pretty old. It's pretty hard to imagine an 86-year-old man having a son. I can almost understand how Abraham would doubt that he was ever going to have a son. I mean, his wife is now 76 years old. I mean, that's pretty old for a woman to have a son. And God had promised him a son. Sarah came up with a brilliant idea, amen. Like most females' ideas, I mean, they're just brilliant, aren't they? That was a slam. That's okay. They have that son, Ishmael. And you think about, even to this day, 2016, the mess that Ishmael is making in this world. You understand that? I mean, you take that religion of Islam, and you can trace it all the way back to Ishmael. All because they weren't willing to wait on God. It was just simply 14 years before God was ready to perform His promise. 14 years, Tim, that's a long time. If you had to wait 14 years from now, that means you would have to wait till you're 32 for God to do something for you. He told you today. Are you 18? Yeah. Right? That'd be 32. That's a long time. Right? Some of us, 14 years, that'd be a long time to wait. But if Abraham and Sarah had waited, would they not have been better off? Do you see how even us, we would be better off if Abraham and Sarah had just waited on God? Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Just trying to preach on Achan, he should have waited. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Another man here that should have waited was King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter number 13 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and it's a familiar story, but it says, and he, talking about King Saul, tarried, or he waited 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, excuse number one, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, excuse number two, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, excuse number three. You see how easy excuses are? You know what, we as humans, we always have excuses. I mean, we have reason for everything. Instead of Saul saying, you know what, Samuel, I did wrong. I disobeyed and I just flat did wrong. But he didn't do wrong. I mean, in his mind, he wasn't wrong. He was justifying what he did. He was making excuses for not having obeyed. Verse 12. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. That sounds spiritual. I mean, I'd hate for the battle to start, and I'd not have had time to pray yet. That's very spiritual sounding. He said, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. You see, I like what Samuel does. You know what Samuel does? He cuts right through all the excuses. He cuts through all the human reasoning. He cuts through all the fake, pretend Pharisaical spiritual part that Saul acted all spiritual. Oh, I wanted to pray before the battle. Samuel just cuts right through that. He said, you've been foolish. He said, you have disobeyed the command of God. I mean, he didn't answer excuse number one or excuse number two or excuse number three. He just simply says, you did wrong. You sinned against God. But we don't want to hear that today. Amen. And then he says this, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. What happens there? The kingdom is taken from Saul. And you know the story is given to David right there. Why? Saul, he should have waited. How long would he have had to wait? Well, the Bible says as soon as he's done offering, Samuel shows up. How long do you think that offering took? Let's just say it took an hour. Let's say it took an hour for him to bring the animal, him to kill the animal, to offer it up. I think that's probably a pretty reasonable amount of time, but I don't know. Let's just say an hour. He literally waits 7 days, and he gets impatient. He offers the offering, and Samuel shows up. And if he had just waited one more hour, you know what God said? I was going to establish your kingdom forever. But now, I'm going to take it from you. A matter of 1 hour. 60 minutes. No, I mean, it's just an hour. But if he had just waited, look at what God was ready to bless him with. Instead, what's he getting? He really gets a curse from God. He says, okay, that's it. Kingdom's done. I'm taking it from you. I'm going to give it to somebody more faithful than you. He should have waited. God's blessings would have remained on him. He would not have been rejected. But what did he do? He did foolishly. In just an hour or so, his kingdom was going to be established forever. Instead, he loses his kingdom. Over 1 hour. Just 1 hour of impatience. 1 hour of not being willing to just wait. Well, you know what we live in? We live in an impatient world. We don't want to wait. How many times that we don't even know right now If we had just waited another hour, or maybe a day, or maybe a month, or maybe a year, God was getting ready to dump a blessing. But we got impatient. God said, well, you blew it. I had a blessing, but now you get a curse. Why? Because you didn't wait. How about the children of Israel? Psalms 106, verse 13 says, they waited not for the counsel of God. That's an interesting verse. You ever think about that? They waited not for the counsel of God. Let me ask you tonight, do you wait for the counsel of God? You know, a lot of us, we're not. We don't find that counsel of God all that important, do we? In other words, I could give you many examples that children of Israel, they didn't wait on the counsel of God. How about when they complained for water? You think they waited on the counsel of God before they complained for water? How about when they complained for food because they loathed this light bread? God, we hate this manna you've been miraculously raining down from heaven. And we want some flesh. We want some meat. You think they waited on the counsel of God? No. How about when they got right up there and they sent the 12 spies and God said, time to go to Canaan. And they said, no, we won't go. They're walled cities. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers. You think they waited on the counsel of God? No, they didn't. How about when they made and worshiped that golden calf in the wilderness? You think they waited on God, on the counsel of God? How about when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and 250 other princes of the congregation rose up against Moses and basically said, Moses, you're not God's man. You're a fraud. We don't have to listen to you. You've done all this on your own. You think they waited on the counsel of God? I don't think they did. How about when they murmured and they doubted God, and one time God sent a plague and killed thousands of them just for murmuring? What did they do? They failed to wait on the counsel of God. You know what I see there is that what we're supposed to do is wait to hear what God wants us to do and then do it. But the children of Israel, they didn't do it. They did not wait. How about Jacob? He should have waited for his birthright. But he didn't. Instead, he had to work it out his own way. What happens? You get a divided home. You get hatred and envy between brothers. Jacob has to flee. I mean, just a mess that family is because Jacob just would not wait on God. I see a couple people real quickly in the Bible who did wait on God. You go to Luke chapter 2, you see Simeon and Anna. The Bible says they waited. They were faithful to the temple. God had promised them. He promised Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, that he would not see death till he saw what? The consolation of Israel. He promised them he would see the Messiah. And boy, he was faithful. And when they brought that child into the temple, guess who was there? Simeon. He had not quit. He had not left. He had not given up on God. He was an old man. But yet he rejoiced he was faithful and he waited on God and saw what God blessed him. They were faithfully serving. The Bible says there in Luke 2, Simeon, he went into the temple in the Spirit. And then you see David. David was anointed king. And it was many years later where he actually took the throne. And there was times where he even had his men tried to get him to kill King Saul. You know what David said? No, I'm not going to touch the king. David was willing to wait. Saul tried killing him with the javelin, hunted him down like an animal, yet David said, you know what? It's not up to me to decide when I take the throne. He waited for God to make him king. And one day, when the time was right, God made him king. David did nothing with that. And you know what God did because of that? David enjoyed a prosperous and a blessed reign because he waited for God's time. When there was times when it looked like God had brought Saul into that cave, and even his men, and he had good men, they were convinced that God was just delivering the king, but David said, no, I'm going to wait on God's perfect will. As I think about this, I think, what should we wait on? I think, preaching to you single people, and you hear it preached a lot, you ought to wait on marriage. And I know, you hear this preached, and in your mind, you probably say, I know, it might seem hard to you, but I promise you, if we could find people tonight, bring them in here, and they could stand up here with tears and a broken heart and a broken life, you know what they tell you? Wait on marriage. It's like they said, be better to want something you don't have than have something you don't want. Be better to wait on marriage. You go ahead and get your own hands involved. It might just be another hour. It might have just been a few days. Maybe it'd be a couple years. I don't want to say 14 years. You might faint. But anyways, No matter the time, you don't know. But I promise you, God has a blessing prepared for you. He has your Ai. But you got to get through Jericho first. Don't touch the cursed thing of Jericho or you'll lose the blessings of Ai if you do. Now, I understand that's harder or maybe easier preached than lived sometimes, but it still doesn't make it any less right. Wait on marriage. Wait for the blessing of God, not the one you think you want that turns out to be a curse in your life. And I've seen that. You need to wait on the will of God. One preacher said, God's more interested in making you the person He wants you to be than winning the world to God. Because if you're never the person God wants you to be, you won't be an effective servant of God. Sometimes we're like, I want to do something for God. But maybe God wants to do something in you before you can do something for God. And that's one thing I've learned. You looked at some of the great men of God of the time and since I've been alive and even before. And you look at the beginning of their ministries, they pretty much ministered in obscurity. Not many people knew them. But what was God doing them? He was preparing them like He did Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. And when the time was right, God used these men that He spent many years in private and many years just in their corners of the world, wherever it was, preparing them and making them the man they were supposed to be, that God could use them to have quite a ministry that touched around the world. Sometimes we have to wait on the will of God. Micah 7:7, Zephaniah 3:8 says to wait on God. It says to wait on God. You know, that can be hard sometimes. Genesis 49:18, Jacob said this, that I've waited on the salvation of God. You know what I see there is, I simply see this. We need to wait and let God work it out. You know, you think about Jacob. We already talked about him and his birthright. You know what Jacob was good at? Jacob was good at trying to work things out. You know what I think he's saying there in Genesis 49? He says, I've learned to wait and let God come and save me and fix my situation. You know what many times we try to do? We try to fix our situations. And God says, you know what, why don't you wait on me and let me fix it? The problem is that God doesn't show up when we call Him right away. You know, like we get a leak in the house and we call a plumber. You know, we want that plumber show up right away and fix the leak. We get a problem in our life. We call God. We want Him show up right away and fix that problem. But God doesn't always do that. God doesn't have a guaranteed 24-hour response time. You know, when God shows up and fixes things, when He sees fit to. Many times there's a lot of work that needs to be done before He can fix your problem. And Jacob says, I've learned to wait on the salvation of God. I've learned to wait and let God fix the things in my life. The Bible says we ought to wait for Christ to come in 2 Thessalonians 3. How? Patiently and faithfully. Listen, don't give up. I know for 2,000 years they've been saying, the fathers and all the way down through the ages, that Christ is coming. Some people today, they'd scoff that Christ is actually coming. Don't give up. He's coming. Be patient. Be faithful in waiting. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, the Lord is good to them that wait on Him. You want God to be good to you? You need to wait on Him. It says there that we should both patiently and quietly wait. That word quietly, it's interesting. Quietly. That means without making a bunch of noise and much ado over nothing. Just quietly. You ever tell your child maybe to sit there and just wait for something? They sit there and they ask 1,000 questions and they're moving and they're all loud and noisy and you know what? They're not very quiet in their waiting. Many times that's you and I. God says, wait. So we sit there and we wait, but we're asking 1,000 questions. We're up and down. We're fidgety. We're making all kinds of noise. And God says, why don't you just quietly wait and let me show you what I'm going to do. Isaiah 30 says that those that wait on God are blessed. Isaiah 8 says how we wait and look for God. Go to James chapter number 5. Talking about if Achan had just waited. And that there's some folks in the Bible that did wait on God. There's some that did not. And the messes that they made. And that you and I, we need to wait on God. We need to look for God for His will, His presence, His guidance. Look in His Word. Look in James chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible says this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. draweth nigh. There in verse 7, it talks about the husbandman waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The Bible says he waits, and he has long patience. That means he has a lot of patience, amen. And because he understands that until he receives the early rain, the latter rain, and the harvest comes, there's no fruit. And what must he do? He must wait, and he must wait patiently. In other words, there's no way for him to speed that process up. You cannot make the harvest come sooner than it's supposed to come. So what's the husband do? He has long patience for the precious fruit. You know what all of us have? We have precious fruit in our lives that we're looking for, that we want to harvest. But you know what? Many times we don't have the long patience that's necessary to harvest that precious fruit. You know, I think in my life, I think of my children. You know what they are? That's precious fruit I want to harvest. Amen. I want to see them saved. I want to see them trained up in the way that they should go. Amen. And I want to see them living for God as adults on their own, bringing their children up. Well, that's not going to happen overnight. Nope. I cannot rush that process. You know what I have to have? I have to have long patience. And realize I need the early rain and the latter rain. It doesn't mean that husbandman plants a seed and goes sets in the farmhouse till harvest time and just hopes it comes. No, he's busy doing what he can. But in the end, it's a long time till that seed produces the fruit and that precious harvest comes that he so badly wants and really desperately needs if he's going to live. Our children, training our children, what a long process and job that is. You know what it takes? A lot of patience. You know what children teach you? A lot of patience. We were having lunch today with John and Hannah, and he was talking about how John, little John there was sick, and how he said, you know, sick children, they really try your patience. I said, actually, my children don't even have to be sick to try my patience. They do. They try your patience. They're going to try your patience and diligence in the Word of God. Because you're going to try something the first time and it's not going to quite work out. Everything's just not going to be fixed in one shot. You know what you're going to do? Your patience is going to be tried. And if you want the precious fruit, you must have patience. Our children, how about in souls being saved? Wouldn't we all like to see more souls saved? To me, that's some precious fruit that I want to harvest. Sometimes it takes long patience. There's talks about a former rain, a latter rain, and what it doesn't talk about, but you know it implies there's a plowing, there's a sowing, there's a watering, there's a weeding, there's a waiting, there's the rain, there's the sunshine, there's all that until that harvest comes forth. How about lives being changed? You know, sometimes people just don't change. I think Dad may have mentioned this morning, people don't change as fast as we'd like them to. There's people right now I'm praying for that they need their lives changed, their hearts need touch. It's not happening. Sometimes I get impatient why God isn't in more of a hurry like I am. If God would get on my timetable, things would get done a lot quicker. Of course, it'd be like a hurricane blowing through, amen. But there are. But you know what it takes? It takes long patience. God had long patience with us. How about families being helped? It's going to take patience. Rewards in heaven. You're not going to win them overnight. It's going to take a life of faithfulness. So what do we learn from that verse is don't give up. Wait, be patient. Have long patience with God. Proverbs 20 verse 22 talks about instead of taking vengeance to wait on God. Boy, you know, a lot of times we just want to take out vengeance, but the Bible says we need to just wait on God. Habakkuk chapter 2 says wait for good things. Job chapter 32. Elihu, that fourth friend of Job, the Bible says that he waited till they were all done talking. And then he spoke. That'd be a good thing. Practice. Wait before you speak. I mean, he waited 30 chapters to talk. Because Job and the other three friends were his elders. That's a good lesson for young people. Amen. That man, he said, I've not spoke because you're my elders. He waited 30 chapters in order to talk. You know, sometimes we'd be better off to wait before we talked. Because many times we'd say something and then we'd go, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, if you had waited, you may not have said that. But Psalms chapter 69 talks about, David talked about how he was waiting, Psalm 69 verse 3 and then verse 6, about how hard it was to wait. About how his mouth was dry and his eyes were full of tears and how hard he was trying to wait on God. But it was hard. Can I tell you tonight, I understand that sometimes it can be hard to wait on God. I'm not trying to tell you it's easy to wait. Young people, I'm not saying it's always easy to wait on a mate. You see people all around, people married, people doing it their way. Listen, I know it's not always easy to wait on God when God says, just wait. When you want to know the will of God and God says, well, I'm not going to show it to you. Just keep doing right and I'll reveal it in when you have a problem in your life or in your family or in your home or your church and you say, God, I want it fixed. He said, yeah, I'll fix it. Just wait a while. You just keep doing and I'll work on it for a while. You know, because sometimes the book of Jeremiah, he takes that clay and if he doesn't like it, what's he do? He starts all over again. Sometimes our lives are so messed up, God ain't, He doesn't have to fix us, He has to remake us. There's a lot of breaking down before He can build it back up. But you know what happens today? People get impatient. Spouses get impatient. So they blow out, go and leave. If they had just waited, maybe God would have done something. Young people get impatient. They get impatient waiting on the right mate, so they get their hands involved. And they miss the blessing. Young people get impatient with God, impatient in the church, impatient with parents. Listen, I know, young people, your parents are not perfect, but you're not perfect. You're far from perfect. I know your parents are not where they should be, but you, with all you've been given, you're probably not where you should be. Church members, your pastor's not perfect. Neither are you. Look who he pastors. If he had a better church, he might be a better pastor. You know, it's two ways. We have a need and we don't want to wait on God, so we just, maybe it's financial or health or whatever it is, and we get tired of waiting. So we go ahead and get our hands involved and we miss the blessings of God. Achan, he got a wedge of gold, got a couple hundred shekels of silver, and he got one change of garment. Had him for 2 or 3 days, buried in a hole under his tent, and then he died. And if he had just waited just a few more days, God had a whole city of spoils. He said, have at it. He said, I don't need it. Mine was Jericho. Yours is Ai. But you know what? He couldn't enjoy it. You know why he couldn't enjoy it? Because he was under a pile of rocks burnt. Why? Because he took that which God said, don't touch. If he had just waited. If Abraham had just waited. If Saul had just waited even an hour. The blessings God would have dumped on them. Some of you, maybe your faith is wavering. Maybe you're not sure about this whole church thing. Maybe you know, man, the church so hard, so separate. I'm just going to go a little, I believe in liberty. Maybe you should just wait. Maybe God's got blessings waiting on you. But you're about to take a curse into your own bosom. Listen, we need to wait on God. If Achan had just waited, how about us? Let's pray.